time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
A lot of roasting of each other this morning. Vanessa and Gallant, Vanessa and Mapes on 97.5.
Are you doing that again?
This is two days in a row. It's fine.
No, it's not.
Sean, I just trust you so much. Everything's good. It's a happy Thursday. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
Not now.
Paul Gallant.
I was introduced second. Noted.
He's working on his trustworthiness and reading and understanding song lyrics.
Yeah.
Sean Mapes behind the glass with the strong man bun. He can pull it off. Not everybody can pull off the man bun.
I'm not going to lie, too. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, damn, Sean, you're pulling off the man bun. It's pretty good.
That's good.
Like
I never noticed. I never wore it.
I've never seen you wear it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you always have the hat on generally, and you just see the flow underneath it. I'm like, is that Lance McCullers? No.
My issue with it is that you wore a bun on the same day I wore a bun, and your bun is better. So I do just want to...
Bun buddies?
Maybe in the future we can coordinate on that, because you kind of outshined my bun.
Okay, then you get Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. Yeah. I get Tuesday, Thursday.
That's fine. Yeah, we can have a bun visitation schedule.
I can't do a bun.
You cannot do a bun. You can do a half Mariners, half Astro shirt.
Yep, I wore it today. Sorry if it smells, by the way.
Oh, I didn't even notice you were wearing it.
Yeah.
Oh, this is horrific.
See, you don't pay any attention to me. You don't trust me.
I'm too busy looking at Sean.
It's the Vanessa and Sean show.
I'm joking.
Yeah, she's busy lusting over our producer, and here we are just ignoring, you know, I'm bringing the content.
You are bringing the content.
Right, because the Astros, they keep losing
to
the A's.
The Astros brought the losses. They were swept. It wasn't just that they lost. It wasn't just that the A's took the series. The Astros were swept in Oakland by the A's. I've said from the beginning, I care more about the Astros being healthy and maybe doing some load management in the middle of the season than I care about them losing a few games. But it does stink that this is the first sweep of the season. It is against the A's.
Yeah.
Not worried about it, but I would rather
not
happen.
But also, I don't want to act like I'm not angry about it. That's BS.
Right.
Seriously losing to these scrubs? They're a bunch of losers.
Scrub is a guy that thinks his fun is awesome.
Keep going.
A busta.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
No, I want to hear you sing the lyrics that you don't know.
Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke. So, no. I don't want your number.
No.
I don't want to give you mine. And
no.
I don't want to meet your boyfriend.
No.
I just want none of your time.
The A's are still scrubs, by the way. And good God, I'm sorry. It's, you know, not the end of the world, but like losing three in a row to those losers is embarrassing. I hate that franchise with a passion. I think it's a disgrace that they're allowed to exist and be as cheap as they are, that they are trying to do what they're doing with the city of Oakland as far as basically extorting them into building a new stadium when they've had plenty of years and plenty of time to do it themselves, when they've been scraping by and having movies made about their payroll because they won 20 games in the middle of the regular season. I mean, good God. So, yeah, frustrating to get swept by the Oakland A's, that is for sure.
Yep, that is for sure. But the Astros are back at it against the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Sidechick Mistress is in town, and so he is once again wearing the combined shirt.
She has decided to go on a cleanse after the ugly weekend showing where she may or may not have been belligerently drunk, terrible, non-welcoming when I went up there. So she just swept the Texas Rangers. Not that that's impressive or anything like that, but they do have Julio Rodriguez back in the lineup, who did not play in the series against the Astros. So now four games at Minute Maid Park. Okay, I think they're at the very least a team that the Astros should be thinking twice about. With Julio, obviously that series went very one-sided without him.
I do want to point out that the most insufferable part of last night's game was Steph Curry and Ayesha Curry throwing out a joint first pitch.
Ooh, so
together.
You hate children, huh?
Steph and Ayesha aren't children.
Wait, isn't Ayesha his kid?
No. Oh. Ayesha Curry's his
wife. Riley's the kid. My bad. Okay.
What?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know their names.
Ayesha's
the one who had the barbecue joint
she
that was
tried
here, right?
To have a barbecue joint
and then
joint
everyone
that was
slandered
here.
Her because they hate Steph Curry.
She said she was going to bring the whatever California barbecue to Houston, and spoiler alert, it did not go over well.
I do like Steph Curry for what it's worth.
Oh, I like Steph. Yeah. He's the celebrity. Throw out the first pitch. It was annoying.
How much do you think it cost the A's to get Steph Curry to come to that disgusting ballpark? I would assume so,
I don't think they pay them. I think it's probably like a partnership.
But he's Steph Curry. Like, I mean, I don't think you're just going to go. Like, if it was a Giants game, I would think he would go to it. I don't know. I don't think an A's game is high on the list of Steph Curry things to go to. It's like going to a minor league ballpark.
They probably paid him in like free drink tickets or something. They're like, you know what? You and your wife can have up to 2 free drinks in the Diamond Club.
Yeah. You can have one of our cats at the stadium, too.
Yeah,
please take
any of them you like. Just take them home.
It is also time for the segment we call Yankees Watch.
Yes, that's true. Because something happened yesterday.
Yankees Watch.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
So they made a move yesterday. They lost 2 in a row.
I like the background music. Shout out to Frank Sinatra.
Yes,
did you
it's
do
a good
that?
Song. Yes,
good job,
I
Paul.
Did. Yes, thank you very much. The New York Mets beat them the last 2 games, so the Astros are still just 2 games back of them in the AL pennant race. But yesterday, the Yankees made a trade. They got Andrew Benintendi, who was on Boston for a while, from the Kansas City
Shout
Royals.
Out to Cincinnati.
He's 28 years old. They send 3 minor league pitching prospects to Kansas City. Aaron Boone had some hard-o quote about how it's fake news. It is fake news that we have too many sluggers. So they add Benintendi to a lineup that's already pretty good, and now you're looking at the Astros and you're wondering, okay, are they going to make some sort of move to match them?
So here was my concern there for the Yankees. Not that I'm concerned about the Yankees, but it has been alleviated, and I'm always hesitant to bring up anything COVID-related because people go nuts. But Andrew Benintendi did say he would get vaxxed, which is a huge deal, because as of now, he's not vaxxed, and it stopped him from being able to play in games. So that's something that I was watching. Covered his family, he and his family a little bit in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay.
Nice people. So, I don't know. Do you think it makes that big of a difference for the Yankees? How do you think it fares for them?
I mean, it helps them, that's for sure. And it is them getting a toy. I feel like if you are in this Cold War against the Yankees before the ultimate meeting in the ALCS, which I think we all believe is going to happen, and it will be a failure by either team. It will be a failure of a season if neither of those teams makes it to the ALCS against one another. But, yeah, I mean, now I'm looking at the Astros and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I mean, in a weekend where you kind of struggle to score runs against Oakland, I want something else to add to the lineup, and it's likely at first base. So I'm hoping that the Josh Bell rumors end up being true. I don't think you're going to have to give up much to get them.
Josh Bell rumors, and then there are some Jose Siri rumors, actually, believe it or not, that there are teams that are maybe looking at Jose Siri. I think most people would be okay.
What are you going to get for Jose Siri?
Parting with Jose Siri, but I don't know what you'd get in return.
Yeah, you're not getting much. I mean, the guy's very inconsistent. He's fun. But, fun does not get you anything extra in baseball. I like how wild he is on the base paths and that he's a fun fielder out there. But, yeah, he's another inconsistent hitter. I mean, your center field is not good, too. I mean, Jake Meyers, since he has returned. Was Jake Meyers good? I remember reading, like, reports about whether or not Jake Meyers would be back for the start of the regular season when I first came back here. And I'm like, wait a second. What? Is he good or something? Like, he seems like a very marginal, replaceable center fielder. Is he that much better than Chaz McCormick or Jose Siri as it is? But before we wrap this segment up, Vanessa, I do like every now and then to get a nice a bit of New York flavor as part of Yankees Watch. So the Yankees did lose to the Mets last night, and this one Yankees
Subway Series, right?
It's the Subway Series. It just matters more here. It
just makes me roll my eyes more.
Forget about it. Well, this Yankee fan right here, Vanessa, he wasn't thrilled when Joey Gallo was at the plate.
Gallo, are you kidding me? I've never seen this in my life.
Never.
In my life.
Never.
Not Andrew, no. No. He's going
Twitter?
To strike
yeah,
out like he always does. I would rather put Alfonso Dallara than Joey Gallo.
Got it. Sounds Italian.
I'm in the living room with Peter watching this atrocity. He won't get it. He just came home. Strike 3. He struck him out. What a coincidence. Oh, my God. Shocked. Joey Gallo struck out. I'm shocked.
That is exactly what you would think a Yankees fan sounds like.
Yeah, then he throws a bottle and he gets his, you know, he sits back in the couch and his wife beat her. And, you know, he starts yelling at Ma, hey, when's the gravy going to be done? Done broad?
I was going to say, guess what kind of shirt he was wearing?
Wife beater. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Lock of the century.
Love a good wife beater, though.
Wow.
For a year and a half when I was a kid, I would only wear wife beaters, and there are photos to prove it.
I always felt like I just looked like I couldn't pull it off.
No, you couldn't pull it off. You're from Boston. That's not like a wife beater thing.
Boston's a bot. You know, people from, I mean, they would wear a wife beater and then like one of those scally caps.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I went like down to the bar this weekend. Yeah, I was playing dots, dude.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, there was a little get-together for the Texans media last night. We discussed that, plus expectations. Going into Texans training camp, what question do you want answered by Nick Caserio tomorrow? That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
If you're wondering how long of a week it's been, we're debating the every lyric line by line of The Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
Because Kenny Rogers is next to a gambler on a train, and the gambler dies at the end of the song. He's dead.
You're basing that off of just the lyrics?
Yeah. It's very clear that the gambler who gives him advice dies. Again?
Well, the part where he says, where is it? And when he finished speaking, he turned his back towards the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep, and somewhere in the darkness, the gambler broke even.
Yeah.
But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep.
Final words.
After he told him basically how to play cards.
Okay, so yeah.
he didn't really give him that much
Actually,
advice.
I do think he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I may be on the he dies. Kenny Rogers, shout out to Houston. He's from the 4th Ward.
I did not know that.
He is.
Shout out to Kenny Rogers. That's a good song.
Love Kenny Rogers. All right, so we love the Texans. They had a nice media get-together last night. I've been here for a few years now, 3 years. Paul, you worked here, didn't work here, work here again.
In totality,
they've never
8 years.
Had something like this before the season.
It was nice because they showed their self-aware, which I think a lot of people have been asking for in particular over the course of the last 2 years.
It was held, by the way, by the Texans PR staff.
Yeah.
And they invited every media member that covers the Texans. So, yeah, it was nice to first of all see everybody before the NFL season kicks off. I know the station's going to work really hard to bring you guys content, but it was also nice to hear the Texans, you know, their PR strategy, meet their new marketing director. It was nice.
Fearlessly evolving. So I hope that there's no fear shown as they try to evolve. I did chuckle when I heard that, but you know what? You got to start somewhere. And I don't remember them ever having a forward-facing marketing director.
They had Jennifer Davenport.
Okay.
But Jen left, yeah.
Okay, cool. I don't remember ever meeting her, but we did meet him last night. Look, you're at rock bottom. You got to be self-aware. I just appreciate that they were self-aware, that they said, look, we know the last 2 years have been rough. And I feel like that just means that they know the last 2 years were unacceptable and that they're willing to turn the page. I am willing to give them some benefit of the doubt. I do like at least some of the things that I'm seeing with Caserio. Lovie Smith higher. I'm still kind of on the fence about, but we'll see where this goes.
They were very self-aware, and the people that are in place now know that the communication has not always been good. They know that there have been issues within the franchise. I think that media members have been critical of. The thing that I really appreciated is guys like Greg Grissom and Omar, the head of PR, just saying, you know, we know you all will hold us accountable, but we hope that things have improved. So a lot of self-awareness, and I do want to give a big shout-out to the Texans because that was a very fun event last night. And the food, by the way, it was held at the Four Seasons Bar, was bomb.
Yeah, it was fun. It was bomb. So tomorrow we will hear from Nick Caserio. I think it's a very early press conference.
Yeah, it's at 7:30. And
I will try to get there.
Paul will not be there. This is what Paul does when it comes to very early morning things.
It's 7:30.
He says he will be there. He texts me and says, I'll be there. And then I say, where were you? And he's like, I just couldn't make it.
Yeah, I just didn't wake up on time.
Fine. It is early, though, for us, though. It is
7:30 is aggressively early. Oh, Nick Caserio doesn't want Paul Gallant asking him the hard-hitting questions. I see how it is. But on a serious note, you can ask Nick Caserio any question tomorrow. What is the question that you want to ask?
So what we want to do is we want you guys to tell us your opinion on this and what you would want.
Maybe we'll ask your question. 713-780-3776.
That's 713-780-ESPN. If you could ask Nick Caserio one question, what would you ask him as we get into training camp and get into his second season as GM?
I mean, if it's the only one that comes, if somebody texts in like, hey, is the water turning the frogs gay? If I ask Nick Caserio that, you know, I'll do it. That's
is that Alex, a movie reference?
That's from Alex Jones.
Oh,
one of many statements made by Alex Jones back in the day. The question I want to ask Vanessa has it's inspired by the comments made by the Vikings GM a couple of days ago, where he was like, "Well, I mean, we don't have Kirk Cousins, we don't have Tom Brady." I want to know what they look at this season with Davis Mills as. Do they feel like this year is going to determine whether or not they keep him for a long period of time? Or are they already told themselves, yeah, we're invested in him for the next couple of seasons, like the next 2 years or something like that? Because I don't think that they should have married themselves to anything. I understand the idea of going into this year and saying, Mills is the guy, no one is challenging him, as opposed to last year where it was, you know, supposed to be Tyrod Taylor for the entirety of the year. But I think that they should not marry themselves even necessarily to Mills for the entirety of this year. You know, I feel like if Mills plays poorly, they should potentially say, all right, well, maybe we need to explore other options.
So in this scenario, Nick Caserio has to answer truthfully, right? So if I could ask him something, knowing he would answer completely truthfully, it would be, when do you see this team possibly making the playoffs?
Mm.
Like, inject him with truth serum, and he has to say, you know what, I see it being 3 years. I'm not going to lie. Or I don't even think we can win the conference for another 2 years, and that depends on how things go down in Tennessee, whatever. I would like to see, and it's kind of along the lines of yours, mm-hmm. of what they see from Davis Mills. But as somebody that is experienced in the football world, can't stand the Patriots, but he worked for a dynasty and, mm-hmm. and was
yeah,
there during that.
Yeah.
When do you see this team actually experiencing okay. success? Now, will I ask him that? No, because he would never answer that truthfully. He okay. would give like a formal GM answer. But if he had to speak the truth, because you know, if you ask him that about Davis Mills, you know you're not going to get the actual answer of what he thinks. He's going to say, right. Davis Mills is our guy. We believe in him.
Yeah,
we trust him.
Yeah,
we build
exactly.
around him.
Okay. And you've asked him questions before. I have
of
never
course.
Asked him a question. I've never spoken with him before. What is a question that you would actually be able to get? What kind of question would actually get a meaningful answer out of Nick Talks a Lot Caserio?
Yeah, he talks a lot, and he sometimes gives the
talks
generic.
Around.
Talks around would be a good way of putting it. I think you could ask him how he's seen certain players develop, and he'll be honest with you. I think if you ask him, you know, like during the pre-draft press conference, every NFL team has a pre-draft press conference. He was pretty honest about what their evaluations are. He mentioned what they have every guy that they, you know, have visit, guys that could potentially be free agents, who they have them meet with, what they have them do. He got into that process a little bit. It's not that I think he's dishonest. I just think that he's one of those guys that he's not going to give the answer that the Vikings GM gave, right?
Right?
Which was aggressively honest.
He seems to be learning
right
how to be honest.
Right after a Kirk Cousins extension, he basically
right.
says, we don't have the guy that we would love to have.
I enjoyed that guy whose name, it's hard to pronounce, so I'm like nervous to say it again. So his first name is, I know, Kwesi. Whatever the case, all I know is that he is clearly learning how to not be too transparent. He was trying his hardest, and he even said a couple of times, like, oh, wait, I shouldn't be saying this much, huh?
Sean, what would you ask Nick Caserio, Texans training camp?
I mean, in the vein that of answers he would never, ever
right.
consider actually answering, I'd pull him maybe off to the side, maybe not at the, you know, in front. I'd be like, Deshaun Watson, what'd you know? Like, for real.
Right.
Like, for real, what'd you know
for
when
real,
you know?
For real.
I know he wants to talk about the future, the exciting future that this young team is heading towards. I want to know, what'd you know?
That's a great one. That's a great one. He was always on the train of, we're ready to move on. We're ready to get that behind us.
Also, where'd you get the vest?
All of his vests. One guy that...
Would you wear a top knot, Nick?
What, can you imagine Nick Caserio with a man bun? Another person I could literally never picture with a man bun, and it makes me have nightmares to try to do so, is Mike McCarthy.
Well, actually, I kind of want to see him with the man bun now.
The Dallas Cowboys. Apparently, also, he slimmed down because reporters in Dallas were playing the compliment game and saying he slimmed down.
Sure, he did.
Let's hear Mike McCarthy on what he feels like the Cowboys' identity is.
Our team identity is discipline, grit, and fundamentally sound. So, as we build that.
Can we pause for a second?
Discipline, grit, and what was the other one? Fundamentally sound.
First off, their entire existence says, no, that's not the case. Second off, the last game you played, what? How many false starts were there? How many penalties were there? What happened at the end of the game where you ran a quarterback sneak up the middle and slid? You can't say your team identity is something when you haven't proven that that's your team identity, right?
I mean, I think three playoff wins in the last 25 years says that they're not A winners. And then this particular team, all of the struggles that they have and the way that they've built up Dak, despite Dak not giving the results they want. Yeah, I mean, I concur, Paul.
Vanessa, this answer just keeps on going and going. Like, McCarthy's trying to explain, yeah, we're about discipline and fundamentals. It was really funny to hear him twist himself into a pretzel. The clip continues.
And fundamentally sound. So, you know, as we build that each and every year, yeah, we definitely need to be better in the area of penalties. We're going to focus on that. And the one thing about the penalties, it really falls under the category, when you talk about team identity, is in the category of discipline. You know, at the end of the day, when you're trying to establish a play style, which, you know, I felt like we hit the target last year. We were up and down in year one with our play style. But when you approach your play style, you know, we're not trying to be disciplined and then play just hard enough. You know, we come from another app. We want an aggressive, physical play style, and we cross the line too much. So our discipline is pulling back. You know, this is not a group that I have to push forward. And that's very important in how you train in the reality of the mistakes that are made and how we need to, you know, tighten it down. So our play style and the way we attacked the season last year, that's what it looks like. But the discipline in that, we need to be better. We've identified with that. We've addressed it. And it has to be part of our daily function.
So we're disciplined, but we don't need to give too much effort, and I don't need to make these guys be disciplined.
Our identity is discipline, but our play style is not discipline, is essentially the nutshell of that. And he kept on going. I mean, it's the greatest
pretzel. That was worse
than
an O'Brien answer. Like, here's the thing. When you're a head coach, this is one thing. Let's bring it back to the Texans, because the Texans did this with David Coley, or attempted to, at least.
They did.
You know what a couple of the questions that the media asks are going to be.
Yes.
So have bullet points. And you could tell, and I love David Coley, by the way, but when we would do our coaches show at the station that I was at, he at least knew the outline of what he was supposed to say for the questions that they know. You know that you're going to get asked, hey, what's the deal with this team? What do you guys want to improve on? What do you want the identity? You know you're going to get that form and that question in some way, shape, or form. Dude, bullet points. Have a little index card.
That clip is the embodiment of, I did not study, I did not read the book, right, and I am giving a book report. And I know generally it's about discipline and and play style, but how discipline and play style work together. And our play style is discipline,
right,
but we need to work on holding it down.
He should have just said discipline. Like, with all seriousness, he should have just said, we need to be more disciplined.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't have penalties.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great. We need to be disciplined and aggressive.
We can't run a quarterback sneak with 14 seconds on the clock running at the end of a game where it's the playoffs.
It's like one of the best David Coley quotes, which was like, the best thing about football is the football, or something like that.
That is true, though.
The best thing about football, the best thing about discipline is discipline.
That was verbatim from one of his bullet points. Things I like about football, football.
The football. Shout out to David Coley. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
I don't want to give a shout out to David Coley. I'm not going to lie. Like, we moved on. We talk about moving on from Deshaun Watson.
I get to give a shout out to David Coley.
I want it noted that I did not give a shout out to David Coley.
Shout out David Coley, because I like David Coley. All right, coming up on Vanessa.
As a person.
Can I go now?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, thanks. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, 42 days until the NFL countdown. We're talking Russell Wilson, Let's Ride, and an interesting design on the helmets. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
We're at 42 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. Paul, what's your number 42 jersey number?
Ronnie Lott, who famously, I believe it was an NFC championship game, after having a finger injury, had said finger amputated so that he could play in the game. Sadly, the 49ers lost, and Lott has actually talked about this, and I learned this in the last couple of months. Lott regrets having amputated his finger and did for, I guess, the remainder of his time in the NFL.
There you go, number 42. As we're 42 days away, of course, we have training camp before then and a couple preseason games. But 42 sounds a lot better than 100, which is what we started this countdown out, by the way. Russell Wilson, one of the most insufferable players in the NFL. Definitely probably the most insufferable quarterback with some of his tendencies. Showed up to training camp wearing his own jersey. Now, I will say he had a really sweet ride. The truck was cool. He had a new truck with him.
Was that his car?
I think it was his car.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the impression I got. Now, I could be wrong. He might have borrowed it, but I at least liked the car. Him wearing his own jersey, not great.
Apparently, no one does this. I was surprised by that. I saw on multiple pro players and people that have been around the game say, I've never seen a player wear his own jersey when reporting to camp.
I would not wear my own jersey reporting to camp. I think the last time people do that is in high school, right? Like on game day when you wear your own jersey. I don't know that college guys do it. I don't think I've seen a college guy wear his own jersey.
I don't think so either. I think generally if you're in college or in the pros, if somebody's wearing a jersey out in public, it's because they're a fan, right?
Or you're at like the children's hospital or something.
Yeah, that makes sense. Really good point, actually.
But you're not, like at UT, they're not walking around campus going to class. Like they're varsity.
Here was actually the move. Russell Wilson wearing a John Elway number 7 jersey as he comes in. Of that same uniform with the throwback orange Broncos, the orange crushed Broncos unit.
I think that would have gotten rave reviews.
I think so too.
Instead, he wore his own, which is very on brand
for
him.
Because he is about his brand.
Honestly, he could have worn any other Bronco. He could have worn a Kyle Orton jersey, and it would have been better than wearing a Russell Wilson one.
He also talked about...
Terrell Davis.
Yeah, there you go. That's wired. He also talked about the amount of effort that he likes to give when he was asked by a reporter. Here's what Russ.
You know, for me, I've always been about, you know, the extra work. You know, if somebody says, you know, you got to do, you know, X amount, I triple it. You know, that's just how I've always been. You know, so for me, you know, I get up early. I'm here pretty early in the morning, you know, a 5:15 in the morning, getting extra work, whatever it may be, going through plays. I think that obviously, you know, you go throughout the season. All you know, it's a 365-day job. Whoa. This isn't a thing that you just do something where you're out here for 6 months, 7 months, and just get out here and just play games for fun.
You covered Russell Wilson, so you have Russell Wilson fatigue in general.
Oh, my God, Vanessa. It's
so yours is even worse than mine.
Dude, it's just so hard sometimes. I mean, he pulled a Paul Gallant saying, like, it's my livelihood. It's a 365-day-a-year job. By the way, I do everything 3 times, and I do it early. What bothers me about Russell Wilson, it's not his play on the field. Last 2 seasons could have been better, that's for sure. What bothers me about Russ is he's obsessed with becoming a global brand a la Derek Jeter. He is the kind of person that would make, oh, Derek Jeter has a 7-part documentary. I'm going to have a 21-part documentary about myself because I do everything 3 times as much as the next person. And this desire to be more than a football player, not from a, I'm going to do a lot of different things, which he does, by the way, just to be a brand, to be the new TB12, it's the thing I despise the most about Russ.
The brand is happening, and apparently some college football teams are picking up on it. Here's a compilation of different colleges on their media days and photo shoots saying something that we've heard Russ say a lot lately.
Falcons country.
That's right.
Falcons country.
That's right.
Falcons country.
Gamecock country.
That's right.
It's so bad that college teams are making fun of him. The first team I saw do this was West Virginia. Apparently there's a lot more.
Yes, it's been pretty funny to watch everyone just kind of ripping on him for this. I mean, it's corny, but it does sound like something you would hear in a Nicolas Cage movie. For example, Gone in 60 Seconds, where he does actually say that right before they're about to go out.
He says, let's ride.
Yeah.
And he does. Never seen that movie.
He twirls his
fingers
around.
Is that
around.
Where Russell Wilson got it from?
Maybe.
I mean, could be.
It's a movie about stealing cars, so I don't know.
I don't think Russ would condone
that. I think he looked around, he was like, Broncos. What do you do with Broncos? You ride Broncos. Although I don't think you actually ride Broncos. And then he was like, oh, let's ride.
Right.
Well, if you can ride a bucking Bronco, I mean, you're the epitome of man. And let's be honest, there is someone who famously rode in a Bronco in 1994.
Yeah. He was a good football player, too.
O.J. Simpson was a good NFL football player.
It would have been better than wearing his own jersey, wearing an O.J.
Absolutely.
Simpson jersey.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
That would actually make me like Russell Wilson more.
Really? It's like, I'm renegade Russ now.
If he did that and then during his clip talking about getting there at 5, 5.30 in the morning. And if he would have just dropped to do independent study, then he would have won over the...
Yeah.
He's like five things away from actually being cool, but he chooses to do none of them.
He does, yeah, he's the opposite. Rest in peace, Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman. All right, players league-wide are wearing Guardian caps. If you've seen these, they're terrible.
I don't even know what to say after that RIP, but you're right.
Yeah. RIP.
It's just like, oh,
thoughts
my
and
God.
Prayers to Nicole and Ron.
Oh, my God.
They're wearing these Guardian caps that look like beehives on top of helmets.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt is the first one I saw upload these videos. It is part of the NFL's continued work to foster innovation that leads to less concussions, essentially. They look horrendous.
Yeah, they don't look good. And, I mean, look, it's not – I mean, it's not about safety. You know how many people, Vanessa, wear cups playing football to protect the bits and pieces? Like, almost nobody. You know, because it's uncomfortable, and people are not going to wear helmets like this because it's likely going to be uncomfortable. Your head's not going to be able to move around probably because it's going to be a little bit heavier. And on top of that, it just looks goofy. The other thing is, too, you can do all sorts of things to try and prevent concussions, but there's really only so much you can do. Like, you're essentially just building more armor around, like, an egg.
Right.
And, of course... You know, the yolk is still moving all over the place, just like your brain is still moving all over the place inside. Like, it doesn't matter if you wear the helmet, really.
Football's a dangerous game. I respect them trying to do more, but this looks ridiculous, and I don't know if it's actually, like you said, going to make a difference.
Right. It just protects the exterior. That's it. And, the internal is the problem.
Right. Yeah, Dr. Paul over here. It's usually Professor Sean, but now today
I'm
we have
a learned doctor. Dr. I'm from Paul. A house of one learned doctor. Yes.
All right. Michael Thomas is back with the Saints.
We haven't seen much of him in a couple of years.
And this was surprising. I had not heard much about his rehab until I see Adam Schefter tweet that he's back.
He had a bit of an insufferable line about his rehab because part of his absence from the Saints has been due to injury, the ankle injury that he had last year. But the other part of it has been that he's had issues, seemingly, with the Saints that haven't really been all made public. Anyway, he said, everybody loves somebody that comes back from adversity. I feel like a lot of people in this world can learn from that. It's better to have some adversity than not have some adversity, just to show how you respond. And I think it shows a lot of character. It shows the type of man you are. And I mean, I love playing football.
Yeah, I think it's better to have no adversity, technically.
I
think
agree. Adversity sucks.
A lot easier, because adversity by nature does suck, as Paul said. But shout out to Michael Thomas. Glad that he's back with the Saints. Hopefully he can be the player that he was, but we'll see. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Brittany Griner update, some news there. Plus, yet another person, a notable name, has left for the LIV Golf Tour. We're talking about all the controversial subjects in sports coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
ESPN. 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. According to CNN, the U.S. has offered to swap convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Bout as part of an exchange for imprisoned Americans Brittany Griner and Paul, I believe it's Whalen.
Yes, the Marine who has been imprisoned there since...
You've brought him up a couple times.
2018, right. I mean, probably first up on the docket when it comes to prisoner exchanges. By the way, fun fact about Victor Bout. This is a disappointing reveal of his name, but Victor Bout is the guy that Nicolas Cage... in the movie Lord of War was being like this. They made a movie. They made a movie about this guy called Lord of War.
You're a big Nicolas Cage fan.
I'm obsessed with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, so you really like Nick Cage.
I love Nick Cage.
Like, you actually think he's a really good actor.
I really enjoy his movies.
There you go.
So that's not necessarily endorsing him as a good actor. All I know is that you're going to get pound for pound as much energy and melodrama as you possibly can with any actor. And as someone who does that a little bit himself.
What's the movie where he has the really bad Southern accent? Is that the one Aaron Rodgers was?
Oh, yes. Con Air. Yes,
Con Air.
That was exactly what Aaron Rodgers was impersonating. It took me a second. I was like, there's probably a bunch of movies where Nick Cage had a bad Southern accent.
But there's one where it's really, really bad.
That's
Con Air. You need to go watch. There's a clip on Good Morning Football's Twitter where Kyle Brandt compares Aaron Rodgers' career in comparison to Nicolas Cage's. Oh, it's
damn.
Very creatively well done.
I actually can understand that because Nick Cage was awesome at the beginning of his career, and now maybe he's having a late career resurgence with this movie.
There were
just
like
came
three
out.
Or four movies that were not good, and so that's what. So anyway, it's very creative. But what is your take on all things? And of course, we welcome your opinions as well. This situation with Brittany Griner, I'm glad they're including the Marine, as we had talked about. I don't think it would be right for them just to get her out and not worry about any of the, you know, other Americans over there.
Guy's an arms dealer that you're trading a basketball player and a Marine for. I got to say, putting a arms dealer back out into the world doesn't exactly seem like the best idea so that you can bring home a American who did violate Russian law, even if it's a law that we look at and we're like, eh, it's kind of dumb. So, I mean, I guess what I should say, Vanessa, the politically correct thing to say is that I'm glad the United States is trying to bring its citizens home. But I got to say, like reading a couple of quotes from prison from Brittany Griner, I still don't understand to this day how the weed ended up in my bag. If I had to speculate, if I had to guess on how they ended up in my bags, I was in a rush packing. I was recovering from COVID. The stress of packing, making sure I had my COVID tests, jet lag, and I was in a rush, throwing my stuff into my bag. I gotta say, like, pretty weak excuses, like all of them. It's just listed in rapid succession, too.
It's why you always consult with your lawyer first. And somebody had brought up that at first she had said something along the lines of, well, it was medical, so I needed it for medical purposes or something. And then she tried to say that she didn't know she had it. It's why you always lawyer up if you know. And if I know anything from watching so many seasons of Dateline, you may think it makes you look bad, but you lawyer up immediately so you avoid. You know, they've decided, Paul, that her defense – in Russia, a very serious situation, they've decided that her defense is that she didn't know she had it. That's cool. That can be your defense, even if it's a lie. But the problem is she told everybody at first that she knew she had it and that it was for a medical purpose. So it doesn't make sense. And I'm guessing that does not help her case against the Russians.
You're 100% right. And she also said this about why she uses it. Because of my injuries that I've had over the long career of basketball, from my spine, no cartilage in my knee. I was in a wheelchair for 4 months. I broke my ankle and I also sprained my knee really bad, so I was wheelchair bound. The benefits from medical cannabis definitely outweigh the painkillers that they prescribe. The painkillers have really bad side effects. Medical cannabis, there are honestly no side effects that harm.
But she's admitting she knew she had it then, right? Like, yeah. This is where I get what
she pled guilty to, by the way.
You know? Maybe that's a good move. Maybe Russia will give her extra credit points for that.
I don't know if that's how Russia operates. They don't seem to be the ones that are like, oh, you pled guilty? That's great. We're going to give you a sweetheart deal. But I don't know. I don't know anything about Russian law. All I know is that was a lame excuse that she gave. What? People still bringing up COVID as reasons
right.
to be concerned about X, Y, or Z. Like, I'm sorry. That is now dog ate your homework. That is an old tried and true line that I don't think still has the same effectiveness. And I was in a rush packing. Again, like, piss off. That's such a lame excuse. We all are in a rush packing from time to time. That doesn't mean that if we carry something accidentally, we're excused. It means we were careless and should have been less careless.
Do people go to Russia for, like, fun purposes? Like, it's not like Italy or place.
My mom
it?
Did, actually,
really?
Once.
Like,
yeah.
For a fun reason?
Yeah, it was a while ago. They went to Moscow. I mean, there are cool things to do in Russia. There's history, obviously. It's just now not advised. Like, the government was basically saying you're probably going to be harassed if you go there.
Yeah,
as
the
American.
Idea of going to Russia is so unappealing to me.
Especially because it's probably cold all year. I don't know what the climate's
it's
like.
It's also just if you're going to go anywhere, this is obviously no offense to your mom who went there a while back, but if you're going to go anywhere in the world right now, why would it be Russia?
Oh, right now, I agree.
Zero sense.
The idea of Moscow, though, is kind of cool to me.
She was there playing basketball, I understand, making money, but this is just a bad situation. We'll see how it develops. We should at some point have a decision and know if Russia agrees to these terms that Joe Biden asked him for. So the latest to join the LIV Tour, two-time Masters champ Bubba Watson. I haven't been surprised by a lot. This one joining the LIV Tour, well, Bubba was a PGA lifer, but he is reportedly leaving for the PGA, for LIV Golf from the PGA Tour. I haven't seen where this is official, but this is from Bleacher Report and Golf Digest and whatnot.
I'm still waiting, Vanessa, for the PGA to actually have a counter move outside of sending their mouthpiece, Rory McIlroy, up to the front and having him talk trash about the LIV Golf Tour. They have yet to do something back. I'm sorry. They are more than just a nuisance at this point. They are a threat. They are.
Who was the mullet guy that won? Cam, right?
Cameron Smith.
Cameron Smith. Did you guys see the video of Cameron Smith like flying commercial after his win, trying to shove his bag in
with
the carry-on?
The trophy, right.
Okay, and then you see the videos golf tour guys that are on a private jet drinking champagne. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm not saying I condone it. I'm just saying I get it. Which is more fun? Which one guarantees more money? Which one are you still playing on beautiful courses?
Yeah.
The LIV Golf Tour.
I am curious as to how many more guys they can tempt, because it's a lot of names that you recognize that are there. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, Sergio Garcia. I mean, who's... And what the PGA's done is essentially said with a lot of these LIV guys, hey, you can't play. Okay, well, if all I have left is Rory McIlroy, who is not, I don't find him like particularly compelling or rootable for, and maybe every now and then Tiger Woods, like who do you have right now
right. That's
going to get people to watch? Like it seems like you're losing a lot of talent and you haven't really done anything about it other than just say, but we're the PGA. Like, That's not an effective defense plan.
The thing that they keep doing is trying to bring up that the Saudis were involved in Jamal Khashoggi and all of that, and that there was that it's dirty money and 9/11. All very, very serious things, by the way. The problem is a lot of money is dirty. And that's something that other media outlets have brought up, of just how many American companies that you think of, whether it's Disney, whether it's certain gas companies, are involved with Saudi money. So I don't know what's going to happen. Bubba Watson, to me, not a huge, huge name like Tiger Woods, but he's still a two-time Masters champion. And if you've noticed Rory McIlroy's like media availability, he's pulled back a little bit. He was really cocky at first. He was really all about, I can't believe guys are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying that they're going to have to find a way to meet together and find a solution. And he's right.
You're right. He did, after he said that too, though, he came back again and he did throw another shot at them. Rory's got to make up his mind. Like that little backtracking, I felt like, again, it's like the PGA just seems to be wavering and doing nothing. And the LIV Golf Tour is like slowly like gnawing off their foot and their arm. And they're just like, it's fine. We're okay, as the house burns down around them.
Right, yeah. And the other thing with LIV is that it's guaranteed money, right?
Yeah.
And that's one thing.
Yes.
I will say this.
Way better than like having to win a purse.
Right. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know that some guys have to basically spend money on the PGA Tour. Like when you see the numbers broken down of the fact that you have to pay for this, this, and this yourself, 100%.
Right.
And then there's no guaranteed money at the end, to where LIV is like, no, we'll pay you an insane amount of money even if you don't win anything. And then if you happen to win, you get more and more money. I got to tell you, like, PGA has to find a way to compete.
Yeah, but they're just acting like their brand is enough to keep people people's attention. I'm sorry. I mean, the only reason that there's been attention with the sport over the last 20 years for the casual person, which I'm sure that they want to get the eyeballs off because that means more money, is Tiger Woods, who is not good anymore, who is not healthy anymore. You can't point at your brand
right
when your brand's not that impressive.
Hashtag Russell Wilson to bring it back.
Yeah, gosh.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a little Astros recap plus some rumors in the trade rumor mill. That's coming up next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.